Gentlemen, please rest your sphincters.
Shut up! Quiet! I said quiet!
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Why don't you host the show, Jeff?
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Unpaid Programming Podcast, where we are only joined, well, I'm only joined by John and Mike. John or Mike, do you care to explain why?
We are all practicing social distancing due to the dreaded contagion known as COVID-19.
Coronavirus.
We're quarantined, bitches.
We're recording remotely, so we may sound weird, we may sound off. We don't have a soundboard. We don't have Lawrence, for fuck's sake. So this is going to be, well, it's going to be content. We know that. Mike, anything to add?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Well, content.
I think we're done. We got content.
Yeah, content could just be one of us farting into a microphone for an hour and a half.
That's true. That's basically what we do for 2 hours anyway when we hang out on Saturdays at Canyon Studio.
Yeah, but at least with Lawrence around, he can explain why we're firing to a microphone and describe it eloquently. But without him, here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he can explain to us why Boris Johnson is the greatest farting creature to ever come out of British Parliament. But
actually, no, it was Pitt the Elder was known for his flatulence. It's actually written down in letters to. I can't even do it.
Yeah, I can't do it, Lord. Margaret Thatcher was quite talented at.
Which British politician was the most flatulent?
That's a topic, man. I like
and
it.
He wouldn't have an answer for that, too.
He would, yeah. A well-reasoned answer to it.
Now, Henry VIII was a big fat dude, so he might have been the guy.
Yeah, but he wasn't prime minister, so we don't know if we really count that.
Oh,
yeah.
It's only prime ministers, huh?
He might have been the one that was actually German, too. I don't know. We play trivia crack. That's one of the ways that we're, you know, coping with the crippling boredom of being locked in our house.
What is this, 2014?
Yeah, I know, right? We're into nostalgia.
Who's playing that game anymore?
it's there's three of us: Alyssa, her friend in DC, and me. That's it. That's the whole server.
You didn't invite me to come on. I would have joined. Would have whipped your ass too.
You still trivia crack, huh?
It's somewhere. I don't know. I can download the app.
I do horribly at the sports section, and it makes me feel emasculated.
Well, you should feel emasculated, Mike.
I used to be so good at trivia crack that one time I beat a guy that he didn't even know. I just started a game with a random person, and then I went through the entire thing and won. So, like, this guy probably opens the app up, and it's like, you lost to this asshole that you don't remember playing.
Papa Yenzer 714, something like that.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
It's a good gamer tag.
But something else that has happened during this quarantine is our friend Timmy is back.
Ah, yes, Timmy. Right. Welcome back, Timmy.
And he ain't here.
Well, here's what's funny about the whole thing. So because of the emergency social distancing and all that, we figured out a way to do the podcast remotely. And now that Timmy's back, we got him on remotely, which is something that we could have done while he was in Thailand.
Yeah, that is true.
But we just didn't, I don't know why. We didn't try hard enough.
we didn't need to. We had a spot we already filled.
Yeah, we just got Mike.
Let's leave him alone. He's got shit to do.
Yeah, sure, it's important.
But yeah, so Timmy is back from Thailand, and about 5 minutes before we started getting the technical difficulties worked out, lets us know that it's his sister's birthday and he can't make it.
Which I still don't understand because no one's actually like getting together or anything. Unless he's breaking the rules.
Yeah. He must be breaking the rules.
He's
you
a
broke
man.
The rules.
He broke the rules.
Gatherings are bad, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Timmy is out not practicing good social distancing, but we're guessing Lawrence is because, well, his reason for not being here is that he has the dreaded COVID-19, and he's going to die pretty much any day now.
Lawrence is on 4 ventilators. Which is just a damn waste.
Oh, he is immunocompromised.
Lawrence is inside a huge iron lung. It's made for horses.
Oh, shit.
And he's not even here to defend himself. But
he's got one of them Somerset County doctors.
I'm a vet on the side, or I'm a doctor on the side. I don't know which is which. Just give me a call. I'll fix something with one of you.
It depends on which Saturday of the month it is. Rest of the time, I mail flour.
Wednesdays, I'm fixing an Edsel.
So the funny thing was that we used to give Lawrence a lot of grief, a lot of shit
actually,
over
we
his
should
internet
probably
connection.
First say that Lawrence doesn't actually have the coronavirus.
As far as we know.
Get that out of the way. And the reason why he's not here is because we have given him shit over the years of his DSL internet connection that for some reason has been sworn by in that household for long after DSL has been obsolete. And at our urging, we said, go ahead and get Comcast. Get the cable. It's faster. Well, he gets it, and he has a faulty box, and now he can't join us either.
That's just what Comcast wants him to think.
And there was a lot of I told you so's floating around.
Actually, I'm surprised that Comcast actually admitted to giving them a faulty box.
I was actually surprised when we got Comcast when we moved in. We had almost an identical problem, and I had shared this with you guys in the text chain that we have. But we had horrible internet for like the first month that we lived here, and we couldn't figure out why the fuck that was the case. And so we finally called them, and they came out, and it turned that we had actually been stealing internet off of our 93-year-old neighbors. And that's why on the far side of our house it was shitty internet, and that they're like, oh, yeah, we give you a faulty box. I was like, oh. Okay.
So you never actually had internet.
Never actually had internet. We were just stealing off of our neighbor, George. God bless us.
George.
Yep.
Oh, is he's fucking dead now.
Oh, no, he's still alive. In fact,
that's what people say when people are dead and you mention them.
Bless his soul, he's alive. He still has his soul, right?
No, it's not bless his soul. It's bless his heart.
Yes.
God
bless
rest
his soul is when they're dead.
Not from Alabama.
God rest his soul. He's napping right now.
He's napping. He probably is. He does two things. He sleeps and mows. That's basically the only thing he does.
Mows. If he ain't sleeping, he's a mowing. If he ain't a mowing, he's a sleeping. Sometimes he watches TV, but it ain't much.
He don't
be mowing.
Don't think much of that Barack Obama.
So given all this social distancing, I have taken a huge amount of pleasure in just being able to mow at this point.
Yeah.
I mowed once.
It's like, did you?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I mowed three times. Like, if I see one blade of grass that's, you know, a little bit, he's getting a little tall there. Get the fucker out. Go around the entire yard.
You're out there with the
lawn looks like a goddamn golf course at this point.
So I basically have just turned my entire front yard into a garden because of the apocalypse that's impending. Growing a fig tree garden.
So. Help support our troops overseas. Wait, hold on.
Grow some carrots. Vegetables for the doughboys. Come home.
Remember, Americans, grow your fig tree garden. This is hard to do remotely. Damn it.
Uncle Sam says the doughboys love beets.
High in fiber. Oh, that's awesome.
We can't have our boys constipated on the front lines. Today. Leafy greens and broccoli.
Yes.
I have no idea how that's coming through, so I hope it's good.
That sounds pretty good on my end.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. Just keep saying things.
So I would say in your respective counties, because we span the tri-county area here.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got all the major Pittsburgh counties covered, at least the southern end. Are y'all having issues finding the food at the grocery stores?
No.
Well, you know what? I went to the grocery store. The last couple times I went, I could not find horseradish cheese. So we truly are in, you know, really tough times.
These are trying times.
These are trying times. Yeah.
All the horseradish has been recalled to be made. Damn it. Was recalled to be made in this hand
sanitizer.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for I blew it.
Nah. It would have been a good bit.
Thank you.
Boo this man.
Boo. Yeah. You know what my store does not have? Flour and yeast.
Same, yeah. I've actually taken to trying to grow a sourdough starter to see if that... because we can't find fucking bread anywhere either.
Well, here's the thing. My store has bread. But instead of buying the bread, people are buying the ingredients to make bread.
Just in case there's no bread, they thought everybody else would be buying the bread. So they're one step ahead of everybody else. Being like, fuck that. I'm making bread.
That is ponderous.
Ponderous. Fucking ponderous.
Fucking ponderous.
Fucking ponderous. There's no toilet paper at my store.
You know, we're actually good. Liz, my wife, that's my wife, she thought we were out, but actually the toilet paper we had was just buried under a couple of packages of paper towels. And so she went out and somehow found more. Hmm. And now we are, I wouldn't call it a stockpile, but we're good if we ever have to go down for a while.
Well, and then if you do run out, you know, you just cut the roll of paper towels in half. And now you have two rolls of toilet paper.
See, I'm just a fan of it, investing in a bidet, so just get the hose out and wash my ass crack out that way if
make
I have
that
to.
Asshole sparkle.
Hells yeah.
He can eat off that asshole.
Mr. Sparkler.
Mr. Sparkler.
You have very lucky dishes, sir.
A very lucky ass crack. Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so actually I found out actually a better stop for groceries is I have a shitty local. It's a chain, but it's a shitty local version of a chain. That's actually much more reliable than a lot of the places that are, you know, bigger box stores like your Walmarts and shit, because those are picked clean.
Yeah,
I will not go.
But no
Walmart.
One's going to the shitty local store. So I go there. Got myself some Land O'Lakes American cheese, which gets a 5-star recommendation from this program.
It's the only American cheese that I will allow in my house.
Exactly.
And I think I told you this before, John, one time when I told you like the other day that I bought one of those. They like to take some deli stuff and they put it in, you know, bag it up ahead of time and put it in a case. The more popular, more popular things. I grab a bag of LOL American cheese. And it was not Land O'Lakes American cheese.
You know how you can tell?
I was deceived.
Yeah.
You know how you can tell? Well, if you open up that American cheese and it's all stuck together, that ain't no Land O'Lakes.
No, there are other brands that don't stick together. But the way you can really tell is that other brands, they have like a sheen on the cheese.
Sheen. Land O'Lakes uses extra sawdust.
No, Land O'Lakes is a quality product, Mike. They don't sawdust goes in the Parmesan cheese.
The shredded Parmesan.
Yeah, it's the powdered Parmesan. It's half sawdust.
It's the craft.
All right, folks. So before we get into actual content, you know, we actually do have talking points. We did some prep. And by we, I mean me and Lawrence, and he ain't even fucking here. But I'm out of booze. And since I don't have to drive anywhere, this is the first podcast where none of us have to drive.
That's true.
So this could be like, let's get fucking hammered show. And then we'll see how bad it really gets.
Yeah. Yeah. So my problem is I'm running low. I'm down to my last 6 beers, and I do have Duffy's nearby, but that place is kind of crazy whenever I go to it.
Just drive out to my town, go to West Newton to Lotario's. You'll get right in and right out.
Go on 51 to Beernet.
Beernet. I've seen that place, and I've wanted to stop in, but I haven't been man enough to try it yet.
It's a drive-thru.
Okay, then I haven't seen that place yet. Never mind.
All right, well, I'm going to go refill my beverage. You guys talk, and I'll be right back.
All right, but refill your beverage.
The show shall go on.
The show must go on.
The show will go on, Mike. Now, I am disappointed that we don't have Tim here because he has to have some crazy stories from Thailand that we are now going to miss out on.
Not even just Thailand. He had to travel during this whole crazy shit show. I can't even imagine what going through the airport looked like. So I'm curious to see what he has to say about that as well.
Yeah. And well, here's the thing. So we were at the bar as before, you know, obviously before we were all on lockdown, and I was thinking, you know, out loud to John or whoever was there that Tim is in Thailand right now. What if he gets stuck in Thailand because they, you know, stop all air travel and everything. And well, we were actually talking to Tim the other day, and he was about a week from that happening.
Yeah.
From just getting stuck in Thailand.
Which is fucking nuts.
Yeah. It would be
nuts. Those are worse places.
But I think
worst places stuck. But
yeah, I don't think it would have been that bad for him because he did have a place to stay. He has a lady friend over there now.
Ooh.
Yeah, he met a girl in Thailand, and I think he actually plans to go back as soon as, you know, things calm down. I don't know for sure. I don't want to speak for Tim since he's celebrating the birth of his sister right now for some reason. But that is his plan.
Birthdays in general have always been something that confused the hell out of me. I'm like, I didn't fucking do anything. I just came out. My mother's the one who did all the work. You know?
I mean, I actually did a lot of work to be born.
Oh, I was the lazy shit. They had to C-section the crap out of me.
I had to push John out of the way.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true story. He pushed me out of the way and went through the C-section first. Then 3 minutes later, I came out.
That's right.
John was pouting for 3 minutes in the womb.
John, how come I don't get to be born? You gets everything.
John was there, like, looking in the mirror, straightening up his tie.
today's the big day.
Snooze, you lose. Ah, well, John's back from getting a drink.
Yeah, I am back.
You know, something you probably could have took care of before we started. Wasn't that
I finished
long
it while we were talking. So, I took care of it, but then we took a little bit longer to get up and running than I expected.
See, I can't say anything because my glass is empty, but I'm going to text my wife to bring me one. So,
you see, I'm home by myself, and I didn't train my dogs well enough to do that yet, but we're working on it.
Are you calling Mike's wife a dog?
No, I'm saying that he has a wife that's at home, and I don't.
you calling your dog a wife? How dare you? Maybelline's a lovely dog.
She's okay.
He's okay.
But she's the backup dog. Henry's the main dog. And he's upstairs sleeping, so. But the one thing I wanted to get into is, you know, with this, the elephant in the room that is putting us all in of our respective rooms instead of all in the same room is the dreaded COVID-19 that is making this arrangement necessary.
Now, the COVID-19 was so last year.
No, it wasn't.
Where's
it's right fucking now.
Where's COVID-20?
Shut up. Don't make that happen.
Yeah, you know, I did see something. Apparently, there's an issue with the bird flu right now in South Carolina. So maybe that's the next.
That was like maybe 10
years
ago. Bird
flu is back?
Yeah, apparently. Maybe that's the next big epidemic.
Swine flu. Mad cow
retro.
Disease. Goddamn. We're all
Black
dead.
Plague. AIDS.
Zika. Ebola. West Nile virus.
Hey, Zika, actually, we were supposed to go see the Pirates play in Puerto Rico a few years ago, and Zika fucked that up. So Zika and I have a little bit of a history. I don't like the Zika.
Now, this is the first time in my life where the dreaded global contagion actually affected my day-to-day.
That's true. Yeah. It was always this shit that happened in China, and I thought this time was going to be no different. I was like, China. Who cares?
I thought the same thing. This is just like Ebola, just like SARS. Whatever happened with them? You see, you went away. But yeah. I think perhaps maybe one of those reasons is, I don't think it's the reason, but I did want to get to the political side of this and the way that our current boob in chief has been handling it. And I wanted to see from you guys what your thoughts were on everything that's happened up till now. And I will admit, a little bit of context here, I was probably one of the last people to take this seriously.
Well, I'm going to tell you, here are some of my thoughts.
That was the answer.
It's all we have. Sorry, we're down to nothing but White Claw at this point.
Oh,
so this
no.
Is, you know,
White Claw is a quality product.
It's a quality product, and it's a pounder of it.
Yeah, no.
Thanks, wife. I love you.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
She tried to say that it was my drink of choice. That's not correct. It's top three. But
no one heard
it's a quality product.
It does okay.
Now, I was about to share some opinions. And
Keep
in mind, I can just like mute both of you.
yeah. Jeff has the power.
So what I was going to say was that, you know, a lot of people are saying how much they're acting as though things would be so much better if it wasn't for Donald Trump. And I'm not going to say that he's been handling it well, because he certainly hasn't. He's done all kind of stupid, stupid shit. But I don't think things would be that much different.
They would be a little better.
There would still be a whole bunch of people that have it. New York would still be fucked. Places like
well,
that. I don't think it would be that much different.
There's a couple things that happened leading up to this. Now, I get to not take it seriously because I'm just a regular guy walking around. You know, but I think that over the years we have expected our government to take it seriously, and when they didn't, because whenever this thing first started happening and it started really blowing up in China, the government's first reaction was to cut interest rates, because we have to protect the goddamn stock market first before we do anything.
Hey, I have a 401k.
Yeah, so do I.
Exactly.
Well, anyhow.
I have a state-backed pension, but, you know.
Yeah, that I'm paying for.
Yeah, it's my tax dollars.
Yeah, but it's Pennsylvania. It's not very well-funded. You know what? Never mind. That's a conversation for a different day.
Yeah. So, from what I've been seeing, I wouldn't say it would be so much better, but maybe we might not be doing this version of the show right now. Had they actually done something beforehand to make sure that the hospitals were not going to be overwhelmed whenever shit did blow up over here. But Trump has a habit of anything that Obama ever did, he's going to undo it because Obama did it.
No,
and one of those, John, and one of those things was the pandemic response team of the CDC that Obama created in 2014 after the Ebola outbreak. Well, we don't need that. That costs money. Get it out of here. And now we fucking need it.
Yeah. No, here's the thing though. You know, yeah, maybe we wouldn't be doing this show like this right now, but we would have been doing it like this a couple of months ago instead.
Because that is true.
That's how
I'm inclined to agree with that, yeah.
That's how you stop the disease from spreading, is just keeping people away from each other.
Yeah, but we could be out of it by now instead of in the shit today over my goddamn... out of my last three Easters have been ruined.
Maybe, but here's the thing. You know, it's you and everybody else. I don't remember anyone a couple of months ago saying, oh my God, we need to get everybody to stay at home right now. No one was saying that.
Well, like I said... Yes, that is true.
You're Captain Hindsight. Early,
well, I told you.
It's like everybody else, this whole thing. Captain Hindsight.
I prefaced this whole thing by saying I was one of the last people to take this seriously. But I have a feeling that those people who are experts and are in charge of making these type of decisions know more than I do. And I would expect to be able to trust them, but this time you can't. And the worst part about this is the fact that now that we have certain states that are struggling for gear, struggling for equipment, and he's making the states kiss the ring almost. And he's on the record of saying this, is that, well, they're not very appreciative, so I'm not going to really help them out. We're not appreciative.
Yeah. And that's totally
that woman up. In Michigan.
Michigan primarily, yeah, but I think even New York is getting a little bit of a screw job. But the governor... Oh, even especially Washington, where it blew up in first. I mean, Washington's on its way down now. But Washington first, they asked for shit. He said, well, you have to be appreciative. This is not how America's supposed to work.
Yeah, that is really messed up.
That is totally fucked.
Bend the knee.
And the best part about it is he was asked, okay, once things started getting bad, and now we all have to do shit because, you know, this thing is over here, and to avoid overloading hospitals and to avoid people dying, let's all stay home. As soon as that started happening, after he had spent longer than I did downplaying it, even though he has more information and has more experts at his disposal than I do, I'm just a guy walking around reading the paper. He said, I take no responsibility. I find that appalling.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything else, I think, with him. It's not even so much the ridiculous incompetence so much as it is the hilarity of the optics, because it seriously was like a Monday where he's on TV being like, it's a hoax, the Democratic hoax, it's the next Russia. And by like fucking Wednesday, he's like, no, seriously, everything's awful. We're all going to die. You need to take this seriously. I've been saying this all along.
Oh, yeah. The best part about it. You know,
seriously?
And there is 41% of the country that will say, oh, he took it more seriously than anybody.
Yeah.
You could play back. You could just have a date and his comments. It'll go away. You won't believe it. It'll be
like a miracle.
It'll go away. We have it under control.
But to get back to what you said about the experts who are supposed to know more than you, back in like February, a lot of the experts were saying that this was no different from any other flu, you know?
Not Fauci. Fauci's the main guy. Dr. Fauci, who has been sidestepped at this point by Trump. Fauci was the one that did... all of the he's been the lead press guy as far as the infectious disease experts go, and he's giving the best numbers that he can give. He's given the best possible scenarios that he can give, and every time that he says something that makes people their assholes pucker, Trump jumps in front of a microphone and goes, no, it's all going to be fine, to the point where Fauci can't even get on the microphone anymore during a fucking press briefing over what the hell's going on out there, and he's the best guy to know. So why the hell is Trump taking the rock off a guy that knows much more than he does, while Trump claims to know? You'd be surprised. They were so impressed by how much I knew. I'm not making that up. That happened.
Yeah, that's a real thing, too.
I saw that one.
I toured the CDC. Turns out it's like, a real place.
Like,
not,
Trump's
not
like
just
in a
walking
room
dead.
Is it a real
holding
place?
Court over viruses. And all these experts in white coats are going, wow.
Get this man the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
This year's Nobel Prize in Medicine goes to Donald John Trump for his infectious disease expertise. Congratulations.
For solving the world's overpopulation problem.
They wanted to give me the Nobel Prize for doing science. I turned it down. I said, give it to Greta Thunberg instead.
I'm just kidding. She's Asperger's as fuck.
Hey, you know, there's something I've been wanting to bring up about the Greta Thunberg, which is why I just mentioned her in my terrible Donald Trump impression. That I've been wanting to say this on the air for a long time. Since the whole thing started, I thought it was hilarious. So there's all these people, you know, right-wing type folks that were making fun of her and saying mean things about her on Twitter.
Yeah.
But then there are all these left-wing folks that were saying things like, why would you say that? She's just a child. She's just a little girl.
A little girl,
yeah,
Sam.
Just like... They're trying to talk about how you know, brave she is and all that, but then at the same time they're calling her a child. Like, oh, how mature of her to go in front of the UN and be an activist about climate control. But she's just a child.
What's your point?
I just thought it was funny. It was you know, a little ironic.
Imagine that, liberals picking and choosing.
Yeah, happened. Imagine that indeed. Free exchange of ideas, but not those ones.
But not those ideas.
Yeah, we're the worst. We've already agreed on that. We have, well, I mean, we as in me and Mike, not so much Jeff, but we've already expressed that on this program. If Lawrence was here, he'd go, oh, yeah, we eat our own.
You know? Yeah, I just don't like anybody.
Lawrence, I'm here to speak on behalf of Lawrence.
Lawrence would lick his lips. As if he's getting ready to indulge in a chicken wing.
I don't know if he's a chicken wing guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
This will be a good segment. Let's speculate on foods Lawrence enjoys because he's notoriously picky.
Is he really?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? He doesn't look that way. Should we just trash Lawrence for an hour and a half? And then he listens to it later.
I will say I've been really happy to find out that Lawrence has worse internet than my parents do. That really made me happy.
Oh, no. Your parents' internet involves tin foil. How could Lawrence's be worse?
It comes in through the aerial on the roof.
We got a homemade antenna.
Yeah, boy, rotate that antenna. I'm trying to wax my carrot.
Which, can I say, that's probably the best part about doing this via Zoom is that I can have different tabs open in the background. I had no idea you could do that.
Yeah.
Really?
And you could share your screen with us and see what kind of porn you're watching.
Nah, you don't want to see what kind of fucked up, depraved shit I'm into, Jeff.
Let's play a game called What's Mike Jacking Off To?
Oh, AccuWeather.
Oh, sunny in 75. Oh.
Partly cloudy.
Oh, fuck. Tornado watch. Oh.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah, no, Trump's fucked everything up, but, you know, par for the course. I will say I'm kind of with Jeff a little bit in the sense that I don't know how much different it would have been. I think the time frame would have been changed a little bit. It's just the ridiculousness of, like I said, the ridiculousness of the optics where he can just say one thing on a Monday and then on a Wednesday say 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, that's all right.
Well, that's because Mondays are for his guys and then Wednesdays are for the, you know, try to appease the other side.
I guess.
Have you ever read the book 1984?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the usual thing was Eurasia is at war with East Asia. Eurasia was always at war with East Asia. And the narrator of the book is like, just last week we're at war with Oceania.
Yeah.
But okay. Okay. You know, that kind of thing.
If I look at you and I say, John, I am floating, and you believe that I am floating, and I believe that I am floating, that means I'm actually floating.
Somewhere in between, Mikey, the truth exists.
Somewhere in between, the truth exists, yes. Thank you, Mr. Orwell.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to, like, Trump's kind of salesman type, you know, his salesman thing.
Yeah, but he's failing at that, too, because...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like he wants to start with, you know, everything's going to be great, we're okay, it's only in China. And then whenever the public seems to strongly disagree, he goes along with that. You're right, we're all going to die.
The perfect politician.
Pretty much, yeah.
Whichever way the goddamn wind is blowing, but we need people that actually know how to make a decision once in a while.
Because he flip-flops.
Well, it's that's the problem.
He doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
The sideshow Bob.
Is that Simpsons reference number 3?
That's good. We're rolling right along. Looks like the social distancing doesn't really affect the our recall ability now, does it?
The copious amounts of alcohol I've consumed has dimmed my recall a little bit, but I've also got a chance to watch a lot of Disney Plus.
Mike, you got to pace yourself with the alcohol, you know.
Yeah, well, I've really had to kind of check myself because there have been a few days where Alyssa's been like, how much did you drink last night? I'm like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 beers. She's like, how much did you drink the night before? And I'm like, like 3 or 4 or 5 beers. And she's like, okay, you know, maybe back it off a little.
That's more than I drink.
I got nothing else to do. I didn't have anything else to do when I wasn't quarantined.
Wow.
Yeah, and my situation, my wife works nights. And so if I'm like on the weekends when I'm home, when she gets home, for her, it's pretty much 8 p.m. So she wants to knock a few back because, God damn it, she earned it. You know, beer for the working man, as they say.
Yep.
Well, it's 8 in the morning for me, and I don't want her to drink alone. So I have a couple morning beverages, and then I take a nap. It is not a good way to live your life.
Wait, 8 in the morning?
I've gotten so used to it, especially now that I'm so fucking bored. Oh, yeah, 8 in the morning. Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
I'm about honesty on the show, Jeff.
I thought you were going to work.
Not today.
Oh.
Not yesterday.
Talking about the weekends and days off.
Weekends, yeah. Okay, no, the weekends, yeah. Okay. No, I got to go to work. I leave the house before she gets home. Although I must admit there's been a few times where I almost mistakenly grab one of the White Claws thinking it's an energy drink and go, whoop, 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 can't do that.
Whoopsie-doodle.
Well, the cans are so similar. Although one of these days I want to do it like before I leave my current job, before I go up to the new one. One of these days I just want to grab the White Claw, drink half of it on the way to work, and be like, I just realized that I was drinking a White Claw on the way over here. I thought it was an energy drink, so I can't come in.
I'm responsible.
On my last day, I'll do that.
Do you operate heavy equipment at your job?
Yeah.
Oh, driving a forklift or something. Or like cranes or, you know.
Mostly forklift. Sometimes a crane, but it's been years.
I used to drive the forklift sometimes.
Yeah, forklifts are cool.
Yeah, I've done my share. Once drove a dump truck that didn't have brakes.
That sounds awesome.
How the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, that was, you just kind of aim it to where, it was back at the mill, sawmill, and you aim it to where you're going up the hill whenever you have to stop, and it's it's fucking horrifying.
Now, was it a manual?
Yeah, it was weird because it had reversed to the left. So, like, first gear was where second gear would be in a normal stick shift.
Old four-speed, you know, old four on the floor, I'm pretty sure, reverse was up and to the left.
Sometimes.
I think.
Yeah, sometimes.
I could be wrong. I'm not old enough to have driven a four on the floor type transmission.
I learned how to drive in a 79 GMC, actually, that had four on the floor, but it still had the old to the right and back was reversed.
To the right and back. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I could be wrong about where the... anyway, that's enough talk about
Anyway.
Outdated manual transmissions.
Yeah.
We're not... what you got there is your clutch is shot, and so you have to get a clutch replacement.
old car talk.
Little car talk reference there. Talk.
I like it.
Little car talk on the show for you.
So how are we all doing with the absence of live sports? Because I'm going to admit, I wasn't watching much.
I wasn't either. I don't usually watch. I watch football, and then once football's over, hockey is just happens too often for me to really pay much attention to it. And then,
well, you guys know I'm a huge baseball fan.
I know. Baseball is insane.
Opening day, when opening day came and went at PNC Park, I had a drink and I put on the original full version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and I kind of wept myself to sleep.
As performed by Pirates organist Vince Lashide?
No, not that one, although that is quality. That is very quality. But now the original version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which I got into an argument about this with somebody on Reddit not too long ago. So I feel like Jeff, actually, because I got into an argument with somebody on Reddit. And basically was arguing, are you guys familiar with like the original full version of Take Me Out?
No,
full version. Is
yeah,
it like
so,
the
so,
Star Spangled Banner where there's like three or four verses that nobody actually knows?
There is. Well, there's two. Yeah.
There's
two
verses.
And everybody knows the second verse. Everybody knows Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Take Me Out to the Blah, blah, blah. But it actually starts by like Casey Kasem was baseball mad. And it's this
Casey
big
Kasem?
Thing.
Casey Kasem. Well,
yeah,
our next batter.
I know, right?
Our next batter comes from Brooklyn, New York.
The small town of Hoboken, Illinois.
And he writes, "Dear Casey, if you throw me that curveball one more fucking time, I'm charging the mound at your ass."
Yes. You know, I never actually caught that, but that is the name of the song. Is this Casey Kasem? That's
not
awesome.
Casey Kasem, is it?
I could. I don't know.
Are you thinking of like Casey at the bat?
Hang on, Kate, maybe it. I know. We have the Google here, and this is nice that I have the whole Google behind me. Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah, Mike, pull that up.
All right. So the entire lyrics to Take Me Out to the Ball Game, originally performed in 1908 by Tin Pan Alley. Who the fuck are the lyrics? Okay. Not Casey Kasem. I'm sorry. It's Katie Casey.
Katie Casey.
The original. Yeah, so the original verse that you guys will appreciate this is Katie Casey was baseball mad.
Baseball mad.
Yep. Had the fever and had it bad. Okay, so you know. Okay.
I'm just looking it up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just to root for the hometown crew every Sioux. I don't know what the fuck that is. Katie Blue. Katie Blue,
whoa,
really?
Hey.
Whoa. Okay.
This is getting a little saucy.
It's getting kind of, this is like my German story here. Holy shit.
I say it's getting a little blue in here, wouldn't you say?
On a Saturday, her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show, but Miss Kate said no. I'll tell you what you can do. And that's where we lead into Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
To the
bar. But this is where we got into an argument about how, you know, does that set of lyrics is, and this guy or gal, I don't know who it was, probably some, you know, lesbian, I didn't want to use the D word, but, you know, dyke, is probably looking at this and
she's
saying,
a dyke!
There you go, thank you. But their argument was,
look at her haircut, she's a bull dyke! She likes to go down on the gang!
I need to come back to that whenever Mike finishes.
Well, I was just going to say that their argument was that this is the first great feminist song because Katie Casey didn't want to go to a show. She wanted to go to a baseball game, and this was in 1908. So I didn't agree.
You can read whatever you want into anything.
So yeah. Casey was kind of like a Susan B. Anthony.
Susan B. Anthony.
You know?
Like a Sacagawea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't let broads in the ball games until Katie Casey shows up and says, "Hey, I'll blow all the players if you let me in."
But
blow every Sioux.
Back to the dyke thing. So, my wife and I have been watching this show. I think it's on Hulu, and it has Reese Witherspoon. It's based on some book. It's called A Million Little Fires.
I have seen this, yeah.
Or as I, what I call it is white people bad.
Oh, no.
But anyway, yep. It stars Reese Witherspoon. She has four children, and they're all like high school aged, you know. And one of the children is kind of a rebel, and she happens to, like, it's alluded to at first, but then you find out later that it is true, you know, because kids in school, this takes place in the mid-90s, where you couldn't, like, now you can just say, like, I'm gay, and all your friends are like, yay!
Yeah, it gains you straight cred,
you know,
now.
We all grew up back then. You know, someone called you gay, like, boy, I'm not gay. Fuck you. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a bad thing. You know, people would make fun of you.
Like, hey, gay. America.
Yeah. Well, this one, the youngest of the family is a lesbian. She's a gay high school girl.
She's a dyke.
Well, that's the thing is, like, every time that anything like that would come up, like, if there was any time it was alluded to on the show, I would go, she's a dyke. So I've been doing this every time we watch the show. And then we were watching some other show where some lesbian reference came up, and I did the same thing. She's a dyke.
And how did your wife react to this? I'm pretty sure she just ignores you by this point.
She thinks it's funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. She likes to bury your face in the game. Oh!
But the thing
now,
is,
every time you see Reese Witherspoon, you're just going to make that that comment.
Well, Reese Witherspoon isn't the lesbian.
Hickory dickory dock. This bitch don't want no cock. She goes for the gash and then got a rash.
That's a callback,
hey,
right there.
Write your own punchline. I got nothing after that.
I like it. I like it.
But here's the thing. There's the so one of the characters on the show is a black woman, and she's like an artist type. And there's a whole bunch of bullshit there. I won't go into it. Why other reasons why I hate this show, but she has a daughter. The daughter says something about like how, you know, she sleeps around a lot. You know, her mom, and whenever that comes up, I say, because she's a hoa.
No, you're doing it wrong.
I'm doing it wrong?
Yeah, that's you not very it. Good.
Yeah, I didn't catch it.
Hoa.
No, that's
she's
not.
A hoa.
Because she's a hoa.
Why oh, you guys are trying to say whore.
I wasn't trying to sing it. It's just
thanks,
the way
Mike.
It came out.
I didn't catch that.
I was trying to do like a, you know, the dice thing. Anyway, I thought we were talking about Cracker Jack.
Yeah, we were. There's actually a second verse. So what we know is Take Me Out to the Ball Game is just the chorus. Second verse is, Katie Casey saw all the games, knew the players by their first names, told the umpire he was wrong, all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie Casey knew what to do, just to cheer up the boys she knew.
Wait, shouldn't we have
Katie Casey went in blue. Take me out to the ball game.
So what you're telling me is that this song, which was originally about a strong woman who was kind of, you know, going against the trend of the time of baseball and sports in general being a man's thing, was taken by the patriarchy and just, you know, washed clean of all these feminist values.
See, I'm starting to think now as I read more into this and I talk to you fine gentlemen, that this, you know, I'm starting to agree. I do think that this is a little bit of a feminist song. And I'm going to say the reason why is because Katie Casey decides that she don't give a shit about the fact that everybody's going to look at her as a dirty whore. She's just going to go out and get all of her peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and she don't care if she never comes back. And she's just going to be happy about that.
You know, it's kind of like the baby it's cold outside counter argument.
Yeah.
Which we did a year ago before we did it on the old show. We talked about it before we performed as Morgan Freeman and Marlon Brando whenever Lawrence was around. And we had Timmy in the room at the time, and he was just like, it's not that, it's just not cool. And then I had this argument in my back pocket that I had read somewhere else, and I believe in it because I like it's a cute little song, you know, especially when it's cold outside. And basically, what it is, it's society, man, that is making that chick go home. She wants to stay. You know why? Because she wants some good, vigorous front of the fireplace bonking going on.
She wants some of that cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants some of that.
Sometimes
she wants some of the
cock
that Katie Casey is not into.
And Katie Casey wants Honus Wagner to lay her down on the third baseline and just go to town.
Yeah.
And she should be allowed to do that, damn it. Right there in Forbes Field.
Oh, yeah.
And God bless them both.
And God bless them both.
Although, see, here's the thing. The argument made that this is somehow a feminist song, they are ignoring the fact that they don't know what life was like in 1908. Because a lot of people, my grandma, for example, an aunt of mine, loved baseball. Still, yep. Well, ones that aren't dead still do.
Was it?
And these are women. So probably a lot of women in those loved baseball. They just talk about it.
Yeah.
There was no agenda to be had. It was just like, oh, you know what? I know this little girl, Sam. She loves the baseball. I'm going to write a song about her so everybody knows. You know, like, that probably just happened.
Yeah.
It turns out women do love baseball even when they're not supposed to or supposed to, or they're just going with whatever what the rest of America was doing in those days.
Yeah.
America's pastime. And with that,
Walter.
Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say Walter Johnson was at the peak of his career and America was a better place, damn it.
Damn right.
But,
God,
you know.
God bless America. and we are at about that mark as a temporary host, interim host, as it were.
Interim host Jeff.
I'm gonna call it break time.
Okay, where's that old break whistle?
We'll be right back after this.
Hey, folks. Are you tired of the old non-profit government-funded VD clinic runaround? I know I am. Look at this itemized bill from my last visit. Upcharges like an HIV test when I know it is a simple case of chlamydia. And what's this? They charge me for a new needle after every injection rather than simply reusing it. That's just classic big government waste. Then to top it off, free condoms? What kind of socialist hellscape am I living in? Not to mention the minorities. If only there was a VD clinic for the concerning gentleman that believes in the principles of a free market economy. A VD clinic where men don't have to share a waiting room with gross pregnant chicks, trying to ensure their babies have a bright future on the government dime. Well, folks, now there is. Welcome to the future of VD. Welcome to Kern's VD Express, the only clinic that requires proof of U.S. citizenship before treatment.
Dr. Joseph E. Kearns IV, wasn't he one of the doctors that oversaw the Tuskegee experiments?
Hey, stop living in the past, man. That was a really long time ago. That's Kern's VD Express. No insurance, no problem. Now, for a limited time, stop in and get your innovative $20 Let's Have a Look-See exam, where your VD severity will be rated on a sliding scale of, it's probably nothing, to, I don't know, man, that doesn't look good. That's Kern's VD Express. When you have the burn, come to Kern's, the official VD clinic of the Lawrence Watson Show. Tell them Lawrence sent ya.
And we're back.
And we're back.
It's the second half of the show now. I'm a host, and I'm not very good
at
it.
You sure are.
You're hosting the shit out of this show.
I am steering this ship into a jetty.
And Lawrence is so fired.
Lawrence is fired.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Lawrence, we miss you. We hope you recover from your internet.
Internet deficiency syndrome.
Yeah. Lawrence has the Comcast virus.
Oh,
that's a zinger.
We Home like to joke Jeff. Around here.
We have fun here on the show,
we have
don't
fun
we?
Here on the show.
We enjoy each other's company.
while we were still kind of video chatting during the break, we were talking about something that happened recently in a grocery store. Now, We've all been to grocery stores before, haven't we?
Yes, and we
it's,
have.
It's not polite.
I'm not a damn woman.
It's not polite to...
What's wrong with you?
It's not polite to be a man at the grocery store, because that's a woman's job, like Mike just said.
The man's job at the grocery store is to pick out meat and then go to the deli and wait there, because women cannot buy deli products. They cannot.
Yeah, they keep getting the wrong brand, you know, of cheese.
Exactly. They don't know about Land O'Lakes American cheese. Official sponsor of the Unpaid Programming Podcast / Lawrence Watson Show, # Without Lawrence.
No, I hate to get back to American cheese, but just for a moment, my store carries the Kretschmar.
It's never a bad thing.
It's the Kretschmar. It's the premium brand of deli meats, and they do have a good American cheese on par with the Land O'Lakes. But what we were really going to be talking about was it was a woman who coughed on food.
I like how you had to mention that brand before you got back.
Yes, because I just remembered that I did one.
They're our newest sponsor.
That brand was on sale, and it is just as good as the Land O'Lakes. They don't have the sheen that the shitty cheese has.
The cheese less, show.
There's less cornstarch.
We're talking cheese today.
The Unpaid Programming cheese show.
All right.
Call with your favorite cheese.
Parmesan in the can. Do you go to Lalo's or you go to the 3C? Or is it 4C? Whatever the hell it is.
I don't.
Who gives a shit?
We're all quarantined here.
Yeah.
Some
lady coughed on some food at the store. And they had to throw it all away.
Jeff, I don't know if I would call it some food.
Yeah, it was not some food. In fact, it was not. John, how much dollar value of food do you think it was?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was up there.
Name a number that you think it might have been.
I don't know, about maybe a couple hundred dollars worth of food.
not a couple hundred.
I cough on that much food every time I go to Aldi.
In fact,
I'm not
that's all
of it
at Aldi's.
Yeah.
In fact, guys, it wasn't even a couple thousand. It was a couple. It was $35,000 worth of merchandise at the grocery store.
Let me interrupt real quick. Jeff, did you like my sidekick job there?
No, because I was hoping you would say something like, I don't know, maybe I was hoping you would say, I don't know, maybe $35 worth, and then I would say, try $35,000. That's what I wanted to happen.
Okay, so what it would have been was be like $35, and then you would say, well, 35-ish. And I'd be like, what, $3,500? And then you'll be like, oh no, $35,000.
Yeah, maybe that.
Something
all right,
Walmart.
You know what? You can edit this out. Let's try it again.
No, we're doing no editing today.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
I got the two of you live via satellite right now.
We're live via satellite. Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
I'm reporting from Kuwait. John, Jeff, there's a lot of explosions here and scantily clad women.
There is some gray matter on my shoulder.
Your wife's wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants. I saw it myself.
Yeah, which neither of us have worn deodorant in probably a month. It's great.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to shower. So I'm gonna.
I shaved just for this occasion, actually.
Really? See, I have not shaved in a while. I haven't done anything like that either. This is it's disgusting. I am disgusting.
I'm living. I'm wallowing in a pool of my own filth and just disease at this point, and I love it.
Disease? Oh no!
Don't worry. It's not COVID. Oh. It's just like herpes and other things.
Inside diseases.
Yeah.
Inside diseases.
We
all smell
allergies.
Like vinegar.
I got the onion balls.
At this point, I'm like sauerkraut. I'm lacto fermenting at this point. Pretty soon, I'll be preserved.
Good to eat with your balls.
Formaldehyde.
Mikey is 80 proof.
I'm hand sanitizer at this point.
Exactly.
All right, back to the current event at hand.
My balls are about to take on the appearance of Brussels sprouts. Speaking of which, maybe that was one of the things that the lady at the grocery store coughed on.
Your balls or Brussels sprouts?
Near seamless transition.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Speaking of balls, how about the grocery store?
Yeah, that was a pretty fucked up story, actually. That was in our own home state here of Pennsylvania. So that was out in the eastern part of it. But I did hear about that. It's crazy.
Mike, you said you had more.
That's
on
all
that.
I got. Yeah, that's all I got. Oh no, I was just gonna say I also think that call back to an earlier episode. It was in Gene's West's district attorney territory. So curious to see if they'll also try to prosecute her for stealing a pair of pants 25 years ago while they're at it. It turns out this, I don't know if you guys read into it too much, but it turns out the bitch was crazy.
I did hear that.
How crazy was she?
Like really crazy?
Wow, that's really crazy. I did read something.
She
about
was
that,
so crazy.
But she's been like thrown out of that store before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was just a problem for that store, like in general, not just now.
Yeah.
You know what? We've worked in grocery stores.
And there are
by
people
we, I mean
like
me
that.
And Jeff, and we never had that level of crazy come in. But we, you know, if you're there for longer than 6 months, you know the folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm surprised is like, you know, someone's going to see this woman walk in. Usually, some guy in the produce department is just, you know, stacking some yams or whatever the fuck he's doing, and he sees that person.
Yeah, and normally he would just go.
You think during a dreaded contagion that he would just go, oh no. Physically picks her up and just carries her out and just tosses her into a fucking shopping cart and then just wheels the shopping cart across the parking lot, doesn't even watch to see where it ends up.
Well, into the Juniata River.
Well, maybe, we don't need that shit.
But the thing is when it comes to crazy people like that, you don't know what form their craziness is going to take.
Is it that particular day?
Is it going to be, I'm going to pretend to have, the deadly disease that's been going around and then cough on the food and make people think that I coughed coronavirus onto all the food and they have to throw it away? Or is it going to be, I'm going to go steal something like usual? It's probably what it usually is. She probably just goes and steals something.
Just maybe walk around and say crazy shit.
Or maybe she goes to the deli and accuses them of packaging non-Land O'Lakes American cheese as Land O'Lakes American cheese.
I don't know.
It's an egregious crime.
It is. It's a terrible, terrible crime. Ruined my hamburgers.
This made me think when we lived in Virginia, we actually, the Home Depot, on multiple occasions when I would go to the Home Depot that we were close to the, you know, in Reston, where the town where we lived, we would find this woman who had Tourette's walking around Home Depot. And she was the sweetest woman in the world once you engaged her. So like you would talk to her and say, hey, you know, are you okay? And she would just perk up and she could have a normal conversation. But if she wasn't engaged in that direct conversation, she would just walk around Home Depot screaming profanity.
Oh.
And it was one of the greatest and most sad things simultaneously that I had ever seen. But that's what this made me think of, is this woman who would be walking around like picking out rakes, being like, fuck, cock, shit. Hey, are you okay? Oh, the weather is quite nice today. What are your thoughts on the recent?
We had a guy like that in our store where Jeff and I worked. We had a guy like that, and he would walk around. He wouldn't scream profanity. He would just kind of talk to himself. So he'd be walking around looking at fucking cereal and go, I've seen a lot of guys drink like that. And then he'd come to our register, and then he would go, hi, how are you? Like, it was almost forced. Yeah. Like his politeness that he's really just trying. God damn it.
Well, it was like he had to force himself to get out of his own head to talk to another person.
Yeah.
Like he was probably like a schizophrenic or something like that.
Yeah. No, I've seen schizophrenia. It's not like that. Well, no, I think it was probably some form of Tourette's.
Okay.
Yeah. Because whatever his inner monologue is going on, he's just going, giving the world some of it, I would guess. I've seen a lot of guys drink that. I don't know. Yep. Okay. Yep. get to the line, go, "Oh, hi, how are you?" Like it felt like,
you know, John,
on the receiving end, it's like, "God damn it, he's trying." I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So the impersonation that you're doing of this man, this sounds way too familiar to me, and I'm starting to think that this is something. Did I tell you about this guy?
Yeah, you did.
Ah. Wow,
that's why. But I do remember it.
Yeah, I remember the guy now. When you say it like that, I was actually at first thinking about somebody else that used to come into the store a lot. And now I'm gonna start with one of my stories and go into one of yours.
Okay. You realize that my story, I'm pretty sure you're going into, I've already told in the show. It might have been the old show.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Oh, this is the old show. Fuck it. Let's do it. All right.
You know what? If it's the old show, even if it was a TV show.
Yeah, still. Let's go for it. So
A lot of our listeners have heard it, but Mikey hasn't. So for the sake of Mikey, we'll do it. But go ahead.
Yeah, this is a guy that just by coincidence happened to know some people in our family, sort of. He worked with our uncle or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. He came into the store all the time. And I remember one time, you know, he was just this guy. He swore a lot. He was just always angry. He wore these sunglasses all the time.
He had a full head of white hair that was puffed up almost like Don King.
Yeah.
And had what I'm pretty sure were women's sunglasses that he wore all the time.
He kind of dressed
flashy women's sunglasses.
He kind of dressed like Kim Jong Il.
Yeah.
You know he always had like the tracksuit on.
I would have laughed, but that's an accurate representation. Yeah, I'm just going to agree with you.
I just thought of that now. He had the sunglasses, the hair. In the tracksuit, he was like a bigger Kim Jong Il. That was white. But I remember
his name was Kenny.
He came up to me when I was working the register, and he started talking about like, "I knew you. You used to come down with these people that were." He was like misnaming people that I'm related to and calling that person my sister, but I don't have a sister. But it's not important. And then he was talking about, I handed him his change. And he's going, "I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with all the fucking, you know, I don't know why they got to do this." He was mad about change. I guess there was too much change. Too many coins.
Change.
I don't know.
Change.
But the best story about this guy was John. John was cleaning one of our jobs. You know, when you were the cart pusher guy, one of your jobs evening.
Part of the job
to clean the bathroom.
Was to clean the bathroom.
And it didn't
matter. I need context. You guys worked at the Eagle, right?
Oh, yeah, this is the grocery store. Yeah.
Grocery store, yeah. Grocery store. Giant Eagle for us in Western Pennsylvania. Giant for those of you in Eastern Pennsylvania. And Rouse for those of you on the West Coast. Pick your grocery store. We have a lot of listeners all over the place. I'm assuming they're going to get this episode. But, yeah. So, this guy with... this basically white Kim Jong Il. My job was to clean the bathroom. I had saw that he had gone in there, but I thought enough time had passed for me to go in there and actually, you know, sweep up and wipe some shit off. And I go in there, and the door of the stall is closed, and I see pants and feet.
Is this gonna be a Richard story?
No. And all I hear, let me grease up for this performance here. All I hear coming out of the stall, and it's a one stall, one urinal bathroom. One stall, one urinal, one sink. And all I hear coming out is just. Oh, fucking Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. So I didn't touch the stall, and I left and act like I did a good job.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Go in there and push them out of the way? Push them off the bowl? Hey, I got to clean this thing.
I would have had a lot more work to do if I did that.
It sounds
like somebody get the hose.
Sounded like he had everything under control. Oh, that is awesome. But that is what that's basically the type of person that this story made me think of, is the eccentric local who does just ridiculous shit at the grocery store.
Yeah, and everybody at the grocery store knows that person, and they come in, they go, "Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was probably like, you know, that the time that, or the night or day, whatever, that she came in, it was probably no different. They're like, ah, it's her again. And no one thought that she was going to go and ruin $35,000 worth of food.
She's probably just going to go scream at the cantaloupe again like she usually does. Instead, she licked the watermelon.
Hey, you lick the watermelon, yeah, you cut it open. You know, no one's eating the rind.
Yeah, I really don't see a problem with that, actually. Seems overblown.
No, she chose the expensive leafy greens instead, like the Boston lettuce.
The bok choy.
The bok choy. The Swiss chard.
Not the Swiss chard.
The arrow.
$35,000 worth of kale.
I'd love to see the produce manager over there. He's like, no, look, the citrus. It has a skin on it that no one can eat. Stay away from the leaves.
Susan, can you please cough outside?
We know you're deranged, honey.
Just cough on the canned goods, the non-perishables.
We'll just spray them later. Go nuts.
Yeah. You can wipe them down.
Take the Lysol to it.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so that's what happened. A lady coughed on some food.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's typical. It's Eastern Pennsylvania. What do you want?
All right, so changing gears abruptly. Oh. And we touched on this in the previous half.
Oh, speaking of changing gears is something that a NASCAR driver might do.
I wasn't going for that just yet, so save that transition for a little bit later.
Or we could go backwards and say, you know, changing gears might be something that you do in a classic antique pickup truck.
No, I think we were...
That's an awful callback.
Yeah, that's right. It's terrible. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, esports. Let's talk about esports.
Jeff, I'm hosting next time. Damn it.
Fine, I don't give a shit. I think I want to do this. I just have all the equipment.
You all suck.
I have a big pile of wires everywhere.
I have the least amount of equipment, therefore I'm not qualified to host.
You guys can't host because you don't have all this stuff.
But the one I wanted to talk about was the absence of live sports and maybe discuss some positives about it. So what we're seeing now is a lot of classic games. For example, Game 7 of the 1960 World Series was broadcast on television last week.
Yes.
And I didn't find out about it until after it was over, like the next day.
Same, actually. Yep. And that game is iconic.
That game's iconic for two reasons. The first one being that Bill Mazeroski's home run in the bottom of the ninth is the only walk-off home run in a World Series that ever happened in a Game 7.
Yes.
The second and much more interesting thing about this was in those days, whenever sports were broadcast, you know, whoever was broadcasting would put it on videotape and then a few years later use that videotape for something else. Like for the Mark Griffin show, for example.
Yeah, that's what happened to the Johnny Carson stuff. Old Johnny Carson stuff.
It
all got taped over. They didn't think to save that stuff back then.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like, we put it on TV, it's over.
No record of the 1960 World Series really existed except for the last home run until I think it was, 2012, Mikey? Mikey, you know about this, I think.
I don't know the year. I think I'm familiar with the story that you're talking about, but I don't know what
the year
would be.
The year we're not going to quite nail down.
Unearthed.
Jeff, I don't know if you know about this.
I don't know about
this. Jeff doesn't know about this. Okay. So the entire TV broadcast of Game 7 of the 1960 World Series was recorded by American crooner Bing Crosby.
Ah, yes.
How did he record it?
He had put a camera, like a kinescope camera.
Like a film camera.
It took five reels.
Five reels.
To record the TV. He set up a camera in front of his TV to record it. Now, Bing Crosby was part owner of the Pirates in 1960.
See, I didn't know that, actually.
He loved the Pirates. Actually. He loved the Pirates so much that he flew to... He had to leave the fucking country for Game 7. He flew to Paris, could not watch the game on television, had it recorded, just in case, listened to the game in Paris on shortwave radio. because he gave a shit that much.
Wow.
To say that he was a ball of nerves.
So he didn't record. He had somebody else
else in Los Angeles record the game at his home off of TV.
That's fucking nuts.
I love hearing about that.
And so up until 2012. That's an arbitrary year, isn't it?
It's probably about right, too, actually. Yeah. I know we were in D.C. at the time.
2012, either way, not that fucking long ago. They were cleaning out Bing Crosby's house, and they found the reels in his wine cellar. And that is the only existing copy of Game 7 of the 1960 World Series.
That is insane.
That's crazy.
Well, not now.
They played that.
They probably copied it.
Well, yeah.
So it was probably the only existing copy. As soon as they found it, they said, "Holy shit, let's make a copy."
But now they made use of it. So, and with live sports being non-existent at this moment, so last week they played on TV Game 7 of the 1960 World Series.
Well, you know what they're playing on the radio right now. So, as John knows, I have been attempting to restore an old tube radio that was in our family for a while and in my garage for the last 7 years that I finally...
The old Zenith Cobra.
The Cobra is just the record player, but I'm not going to get into specifics here. I finally got it playing AM radio, just sort of out of nowhere. I took it out one day and said, I'm going to poke around, and then it was playing AM radio. And so as I've been messing around with it some more...
He just beat on the side of it and just went,
I should have hit it the first time. No, but it's playing AM now, and I've been, when I've had it on, I keep coming across the station that every time I go to it, it's an old Pirates game. They're playing a Pirates game.
Really?
On the radio, yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know what station I'm on. I don't have the dial on it or anything like that, and I don't hang around long enough to hear the station identification, but they are playing Pirates games.
WOLD.
Because for a second, I'm like, why are they? What baseball is playing right now? It's probably an old game.
That is really cool, though. I love old AM radio, and I love old broadcasts of baseball games. I've rewatched the Ken Burns History of Baseball special about 9 times since this whole thing has happened. But I've seen it, this is actually, John, you said about this. I didn't see that particularly, but I've rekindled my love for Pluto TV. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that particular app.
No.
So Pluto TV, if you have a Roku, or I don't know how you guys stream television. But
Amazon Fire.
I got a Fire. Okay, Fire Stick should have it. But Pluto TV has, just put it this way, one of the channels on Pluto TV is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I would look it up.
That's it. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. I got shit to do.
It's got some good shit.
Well, it's the Jeff and Mike show now.
The Jeff and Mike show. But they had a spot on there a while ago where I turned it on, seeing the headline being Capitals Penguins. And so I'm thinking that this might have been like an iconic Caps-Pens game. You know, maybe it was the Peter Nedved overtime game, or I don't know what the fuck it was, but I was excited. And I turned it on, and honest to God, it took me probably 15 minutes to realize that it was just some dude playing NHL 2020, and they were recording the screen.
Are you serious?
And I was thoroughly enjoying this experience because I was like, "Oh, hey,
oh,
look,
fuck you for enjoying it too,"
because I didn't realize what was going on. I had probably 3 or 4 beers in for the day. I don't know. I have a problem. I'm sorry. It was 1 p.m.
I'm going to make a channel then where I'll play Tecmo Bowl. Like I'll get the they have the NFL schedule for next season out yet. I'll just get that and play all those games on Tecmo Bowl on Nintendo.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Tecmo Bowl because with NASCAR, this is a piss poor transition, but I'm going to go with
No,
it anyway.
No. Say you want to shift gears again.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let me work on it. All right. Let me think. Okay. Well, Jeff, I'm glad you mentioned Tecmo Bowl because I want to shift gears here.
Now, speaking of shifting gears, that is something that race car drivers do.
Right.
And there are a lot of race car drivers in the organization called NASCAR.
What's your point? I'm I'm just joking. Okay.
We like to have fun here.
We like to have fun here at the programming show. So this was the year. I had grown up in a NASCAR household because my dad would put it on every Sunday.
Not true. Starting in about 1998, we grew up
95.
In 95? I don't think so.
Ever since that, we visited a family friend who lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they took us on a tour of the Speedway. You know, as something to do, as being good hosts. My dad has loved NASCAR ever since. So we've been growing up with NASCAR in the household. And I would poke in and just see what's going on and go, oh, okay, okay, okay. For whatever reason, this year's Daytona 500, I decided I'm going to watch. Just see if it's good. And that Daytona 500 involved the horrific crash of Ryan Newman at a very otherwise exciting ending. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll watch. And then there's no more racing after a while because of the dreaded contagion. So what NASCAR drivers are doing now is they built these simulation rigs in their houses, and they're driving on the internet.
Did they build them, or did they just buy them from the local Chuck E. Cheese?
A little bit of both. They built them or they acquired them, but, you know, all these drivers that aren't...
Whoever wins gets all the prize tickets.
Gets their pick of the pencil topper or the pencil case.
You can get an eraser or one single bouncy ball. So so they started doing these simulation races where the computer graphics are damn good. I wouldn't say realistic, but they're damn good. And they brought in Fox's full-time NASCAR announcers, Mike Joy, and commentator Jeff Gordon. So you have most of the drivers and some of your premier guys that are just good on the simulation circuit. And so you have real drivers going against internet drivers and even some old retired drivers. For example, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's retired, is now driving on the iRacing.
How about Richard Petty?
He's old. He's not too good on them computers.
Oh. But Tom Petty.
Well, no, he's dead.
I imagine all these guys, they have these simulators, and then Richard Petty, he's at a desk with a CRT monitor.
With a Nintendo controller. Still kicking ass.
He's on the keyboard.
He puts in the Richard Petty code.
But he has the cowboy hat on.
Control S.
But the point that I'm getting reading glasses.
But the point that I'm getting to is that it's actually I wouldn't say a great TV product, but it's good for television. Because since you have drivers that are just at home, just working some computer shit, like a fake wheel and a fake gas pedal and a fake gear shift, they can talk while they're pretending to drive. And since all these guys pretending to drive, you have a lot more interaction with drivers. You have a lot more content when it comes to a TV broadcast. And as far as the product goes, it's actually kind of fun because it doesn't really matter. If someone gets in a wreck, it's just like, wow, that was a big wreck. We know everybody's okay because they're all at home.
You don't have to endure Daryl Waltrip being like, boogity, boogity, boogity.
Daryl Waltrip was a great TV personality. Shut the fuck up.
And
you know why?
I did love
Daryl
Waltrip.
He was funny.
And if there's a big wreck, it doesn't really cost them anything. They can
exactly.
Because a new virtual car is free.
Right. And they set rules around that. So certain races, you get one reset. So if you have a big, horrible wreck, you can drive in a pit road, and then
over.
You reset. Yeah. And so you have drivers, professional drivers at home on a fake simulator, driving around with they have a reset. And so that makes things more interesting.
So now you know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to move to this for good, and then all the NASCAR drivers are going to be Japanese kids.
That's a thought.
Oh, Yeah, the rednecks will never let that happen.
Yeah,
though.
I don't know how that will translate to American audiences, though, if you just see a bunch of fat Asian kids with bowl cuts just going like this all the time with nothing to say. Because there are some drivers left that do have personalities, even though they're in as many as they used to. So if you have Clint Bowyer on the bike, who's colorful, as he's driving going, I don't know what the hell just happened here, and I can't get this, you know, it's fun, it's a good product, but what I was getting at least for Jeff, is that, you know,
what?
We grew up in a NASCAR-style household. My dad watched racing
really.
Every
Dad
Sunday.
Would watch it, and we'd all just be annoyed that Dad was watching the race all damn day and tying up a TV.
Right, but we've moved out. Mom has not. So, my dad doesn't have a cell phone, so I had to text my mom this question as to whether or not Dad was watching the I races. And my mom said, unfortunately, yes. And then I thought I was going to get a break from NASCAR, frowny face. She responded.
Well, you know what the next step of this is? The next step is they have these I races. So all the NASCAR drivers are racing virtually.
Yeah.
And now you get to be in the literal virtual driver's seat. And you can go online and have there be some kind of online simulator where you get to race right along with them.
Only if you're good, though.
Should I? No, I mean, it's only for you. It's not going on television.
Oh.
You know, but you get to do it.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
I know. I should be writing to the NASCAR people. I'm editing this part out. It was my idea. Copyright.
Copyright. Jeff Kirk, 2020. COVID-19.
LLC.
COVID-19 LLC. That's my company.
Oh, you don't want it to go bankrupt.
That's a good point. But also going on in the world of sports is the NFL. Now, I know they're not playing right now, and neither is the XFL, but the... Who am I talking to? Because you guys don't care about football.
I don't care about football.
I don't care about football.
Mike doesn't care about football.
I care about European football.
Boo.
Because we had a trip
soccer.
Scheduled.
This is America. We don't call it football here. Football soccer. Is real football. Soccer is soccer.
we had been scheduled to go to the World Cup actually Euro Cup this summer, but that obviously got canceled. But, you know, there is still one place in the developed world that's playing organized sports, and that is the beautiful Eastern European country of Belarus.
Yeah,
They're still playing football. They're still playing soccer in Belarus. Yeah.
Can we gamble on it?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I need to know. So how do you like Minsk?
Minsk. Turns out they're the only team.
Rochelle.
So, with the new collective bargaining agreement, they expanded the playoffs. And it used to be with TV, they had the playoff pretty much figured out as far as who's going to broadcast which games. But now we've had more playoff games coming up. So coming up this year, we'll have more playoff games. And so now one of those playoff games is going to be broadcast on Nickelodeon.
Oh, my God. So
I am not making this up.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Hold on a minute. Now, here's the team that calls the game. I got Mike O'Malley and and Mark Summer.
My original thought was Mike O'Malley as play-by-play, Rob Gronkowski as the color guy.
No. Just...
And Moira Quirk on the sidelines.
Who?
Mo.
Yeah, Mo on the sidelines. Mike O'Malley and the black guy from Nick Arcade.
Phil Moore,
yeah. And we need Donnie Jeffcoat in there somewhere.
Just have the entire wild and crazy kids team doing the game. Omar Gooding doing play-by-play. Remember him?
Omar Gooding was related to Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes, they're brothers.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're brothers, yeah.
Then how come Omar Gooding never got past this being a guy on Nickelodeon?
Because that was all he could do.
But he was wild and crazy.
I know, but doesn't translate well to Hollywood now, does it?
It's not. Cuba Gooding Jr. Was was a more straight-laced fella, more disciplined. He wasn't wild and crazy like his brother Omar. That's how he got the good jobs.
Feel as if Nickelodeon might try to get a little more PC with this, though, and try to get a woman involved. So I think the bitch from Clarissa explains it all. What's her face?
Melissa
might be the
Joan Hart.
Yeah, Melissa Joan Hart. Yeah.
Then they'll have the little brother Ferguson for like the analysis.
I just want all Pete these and
statistics.
Pete and Pete.
You keep
on
talking
sideline.
It out. I have to go weed again.
Yeah.
I have an infant bladder. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you suck, dude.
But I'll be back with my thoughts. Yes. You guys keep
we'll discuss what other Nickelodeon television shows could be the people for the NFL games.
Yeah, you can have Victoria Justice in the cast of Victorious. Yeah, that might be after your time. Never mind.
That's after my time, Mike. I didn't know you were 13 years old.
I'm actually a 13-year-old girl, actually, still in my 30s. So, which I would reiterate my plug for Pluto TV because they have classic Nickelodeon TV shows.
Really?
They just play the same episode of Rocco's Modern Life over and over and over again. But for the first half hour, it's pretty enjoyable.
Now, Rocco's Modern Life, they not too long ago, they had a Netflix thing. I think it was Netflix. I don't know what it was, but they made a new Rocco's Modern Life show.
I did see that, actually. I didn't actually watch it, but I did see it.
It was like a 45-minute-long special of Rocco's Modern Life.
Which, as far as classic Nicktoons go, I might rank Rocco's Modern Life at the top. I love that show. Very underrated.
It wasn't bad, and I actually really liked the message that they were... basically, the message was that it's stupid to keep bringing all this old shit back.
Yeah.
Which was kind of ironic, because Rocco's Modern Life was some old shit that they were bringing back. You know,
yeah.
A 20-year-old show that they...
remaking
made,
I Love
exactly.
Lucy.
And then they were kind of making fun of the whole idea of remaking, you know, these old shows.
Yeah. Oh, Lucy.
And they also had a trans character.
Wait, did they? In
yes.
Rocco's Modern Life?
Well, in the new one.
Oh, in the new one. Okay, was, yeah.
So that was one of the things with the big head son was now their daughter.
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, I guess if you want to get technical, Heifer was a male, and there's no such thing as a male heifer. So they may have broke ground. They were trailblazers.
They were
in Rocco's
Heifer identified as a steer.
He did identify.
That's true. That's true.
Which means he was a castrated male.
Yeah, he said, "I'm a steer."
He certainly wasn't a bull. But now that I'm back, I had some few thoughts on what the NFL on Nickelodeon would look like. Now,
is it anything like "Hey, dude"?
Salute your shorts.
Oh, how about this?
I remember that show too. What we're doing?
No, I got a better idea. All right, the NFL on Nickelodeon. It would be like Nick Arcade, but with Tecmo Bowl.
Now, keep in mind, this is going to be an actual sport broadcast for kids.
A high stakes sport too, if it's going to be an NFL.
Yeah, true. It's the playoffs.
Does that mean they have like some little shit that's like 4 feet tall and he's trying to give an interview and he's like reaching up with a microphone, yelling to some 7 foot
Antonio
tall
Brown.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown ain't playing no more.
Antonio Brown, he's on a lot.
He ain't a lot. But I was thinking, like, I could not think off the top of my head of what a good play-by-play guy would be that would translate well for Nickelodeon. Except one name came to mind, and I don't know if you guys know this name, because Mikey, you don't watch football, and Jeff watches football but doesn't pay attention to broadcasting. But a guy like Gus Johnson, who currently works for Fox, where everything that happens is super exciting. Oh, and the handoff. Oh, and he gets to the 5! And gets to the 10! Oh, that's going to be for 5 yards! Oh! Like, that's that type of guy. Keith Jackson's fucking dead, so he's out. But
I mean, the thing is, I think most kids who are interested in football already watch football. They don't need Nickelodeon's bullshit to watch the game. Most kids like sports.
Well,
I think more kids like sports now than when we were kids.
I don't know. I don't know if I would agree with that sentiment or not, honestly.
Well, you're thinking maybe from baseball's perspective. Because baseball is boring.
But
mainly
thinking from my extensive experience with annoying ass little 12 and 13 year olds that most of them, the only sport that they're particularly interested in is Fortnite.
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I also knew my fair share of little shits that also enjoyed them a good football game, but I don't really know. I don't know what Nickelodeon's ploy is here. Like what? Why the fuck Nickelodeon? Like I'm not really seeing this.
Because they ran out of networks. They ran out of channels.
That's actually probably right. Yeah.
If they have two more games, it'll be on Lifetime. And then it'll just be women talking about how barbaric it is.
The cast of The View will be the commentary team.
And the quarterman hands the ball off to this chauvinist who's just barbarically shoving his way through the other players. This is disgusting.
He just said, excuse me.
All right, but let me ask you this. Tony Romo, I think he would work on Nickelodeon.
Tony Romo on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, yeah. Tony Romo's good. I was thinking of Peyton
Manning. And they would say, hey, Tony Romo, why don't you kid it up a little bit? And we go, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And then he's in.
I got a 6-year-old nephew. He loves me.
So I don't think Al Michaels would translate to children very well, but I think Gus Johnson and Tony Romo will.
No. Here's what they need. Artie, the strongest man in the world.
Now he got past that offensive lineman very well, but I would have done it quicker because I'm the strongest man in the world.
Exactly. And so whenever the other team goes to kick a field goal, Artie, the strongest man in the world, just takes the goalposts and just picks them up and moves them out of the way so he can't get the hook.
No good.
Yeah, try kicking to the knees uprights, pipsqueak.
No good. And he does wear stripes, so he's kind of like a ref.
Yeah. Someone dust off Toby Huss.
Hell knows what he's doing these days. Counting his money. I killed Fitty Man.
Oh, hey, he got Seinfeld money.
He's got King of the Hill money, too.
King of the Hill money? Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
Seinfeld money is probably a lot more than King of the Hill money. But then again,
exactly what episode of Seinfeld.
That's true. He probably has a lot more King of the Hill money.
And Jerry Seinfeld took all the Seinfeld money.
Hey, it's my money. It's named after me.
It's my show.
It's my show.
It's called Seinfeld. I'm Seinfeld.
Well, everybody, that's all I got for the evening. How about you?
No. I don't have anything. we are at that mark where we usually call it quits.
Okay. Can I take us out?
I have no objections.
I don't.
I yield my time to the representative from Western Pennsylvania.
All right, take us out, John.
Okay, that's it, everybody. So for Jeff, for Mike, for Tim, for Lawrence, I'm John. So long, everybody. Bye.
Hold on a minute. I thought you were going to do your own thing.
No, I was going to do Lawrence's thing because he's not here to do it.
Oh.
All right, Jeff, do your own thing.
All right. Mike, please. Come on.
Proper to the mic is fucking cool and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mike, that is just rude.
Gentlemen, hold your sphincters.
And just for that, I think, you know what, that's enough. This show is over. Well, we had a lot of fun here tonight. I certainly had a lot of fun.
We certainly did.
I hope you fellas did also. It's too bad. I'm sorry we couldn't get Tim for you, even though he's back here in the United States where he belongs, the land of freedom. But anyway, for John, for Jeff, for Mike, for Lawrence, who couldn't join us, and Tim, who is in the United States, but also could not join us because he's Chinese people.